And right now we're going to the phone lines where we are joined
by Darren Mon from Mon Wealth Management, making his monthly sojourn with us to talk about the world of finance. Every month you come on and I'm like, it can't be a month already.
It does seem to fly by. It does seem to fly by.
I mean, it was crazy. Although I have good news for you, Darren. I did not open my 401k statements.
That's good.
So I'm in a much better mental state today than I was last time I talked to you.
Although I'm sure it looks better today, assuming you didn't make any changes. It looks better today than it did when you looked at it last month.
Yes, it should be going up.
Very likely moving in the right direction.
Well, and that raises a question. Darren, the economy is opening up, and slowly, most states are starting to open up. In Ohio, I think the governor said about 90% of the businesses are open or will be opening here in the next week or two. So what? Are we starting to see any impact? How long will it be before we see any impact of this? What's going to happen as this starts to phase open?
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as, you know, if we look at just plain and simple economic activity, you know, we've seen the bottom. You know, the economy bottomed here a few weeks ago as far as, you know, the lowest amount of economic activity. You know, as things are opening up, you know, we're seeing momentum start to build, you know, as economy starts to grow back. You know, to your comment just a few minutes ago, I mean, the problem is it was such a massive contraction. I mean, we're talking, you know, it's hard to even quantify because, you know, at the worst of it, it was very brief, you know, but it was somewhere between a 30 and a 50% contraction in economic activity, which is, you know, like you said, going back to 1929, it's very much like the contraction we saw back then. And thankfully, it is also very brief, and we will see a sharp recovery for a lot of it. You noted there are some parts of the economy that are going to take longer to recover, and some that won't, just by, you know, because they won't survive, or, you know, there's going to be kind of open Pandora's box, right? You know,
so yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's, okay, you know, when flu season comes back, you know, even if we have vaccine in place, you know, which it looks very likely that we'll have vaccines in place come the fall, people going to be afraid to, you know, be close to other people. Now, a lot of people won't, you know, personally, I'm not particularly, you know, concerned about it, but for a lot of people, especially those who are at higher risk, you know, they're going to want to take more personal precautions. And so there is going to be a limiting of economic activity over what people used to do. So, you know, I think the last 10 or 15% of economic recovery is going to take a while. It could take, you know, another year or two before the rest of the economy kind of, you know, gets back to where it was. You'll probably see a more permanent impairment in things like concerts and, you know, football games and things like that where there's large crowds. There's going to be some part of the population that for maybe even a decade or two has, you know, a hard time even getting back to that, those types of activities.
Well, it seems like the entertainment industry and things that are based on vacationing and travel and things are really going to be the hardest hit because we're coming into their key time. You know, I mean, if you're a Cedar Point, if you're a Disney World and things like that, this is your season. And it's obviously going to be A, abbreviated, and B, not nearly, you know, just by nature of even if they do open, how they're going to have to open, they're not going to be able to serve the same kinds of number of people. And it just seems like those are really going to be kind of a lagging area.
Right, right, exactly. You know, probably by the time it rolls around next year, it won't be that big of a deal, but it's still, I mean, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, if you think of the tuxedo rentals and limousine, you know, things that are really built around, you know, prom season and graduations. I mean, you know, they've lost a whole, you know, a whole year's worth of, you know, of the busiest part of their business. And so, you know, my heart goes out to those, you know, businesses that have been affected, you know, in that way. I mean, there's a lot of businesses that, you know, man, just these last 3 months, it's devastating to lose the best part of their year. And so, you know, for a lot of them, that's enough to put them under and make it difficult to survive. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge, but the good news is we will see a recovery. We will get back to decent economic growth, and eventually things will heal. But the wounds were deep. I think we need to be careful of expecting that it's going to heal quickly. I mean, there'll be good improvement quickly, but full healing is going to take a while.
Well, and I saw a report the other day that over 100,000 small businesses have already closed their doors permanently. And
yeah.
It seems that's where you're really, because it's a lot, you know, you can as we're seeing through this coronavirus, you can shut down a business real fast. Starting a new one takes a while. Then that, to me, seems like the one area where we're really going to see hit, because it's not, you know, I know there's such a thing as creative destruction. You know, you weed out the bad businesses for the good ones, but that's not necessarily what happened here. These were probably maybe even good businesses, but just because of circumstances, just couldn't tolerate what was inflicted upon them.
Yes, yes, exactly. That number is probably growing, you know, easily by more than 1,000 a day. You know, it's probably even understates the effect of what's really happening. And it's not just small businesses. I mean, you look at the bankruptcies, even in big businesses, you know, with the bankruptcies, some major companies. Now, a lot of those were already on the brink, you know, when you think of companies like JCPenney and things like that. But, you know, this was just the final nail in the coffin. And in some cases, it's just kind of putting them out of their misery. The writing's been on the wall for a while and put them over the edge. But, you know, especially in a lot of the businesses, it was just... They would have been great businesses otherwise, but you know, when you shut down the economy for 2 or 3 months, it, you know, there's no way a lot of businesses can survive.
Well, the good news, you know, more people getting back to work now, more people, you know, opening up with the opening of restaurants and haircutting places and things like that. Some of those businesses I know are booming. Like, we took our daughter to get her haircut, and it was like a 3-hour wait when we checked in. You know,
yeah.
It was like you check in online, 3 hours, you go and, you know, get there. So as people are getting back to work, getting back into that transition, one of the challenges has been because in some cases the unemployment benefits that they were getting during this time were higher than what they were getting paid to work. So there's kind of a disincentive to go back to work. Some of these workers choosing not to go back. But it seems to me that's kind of a dangerous thing, because these rates of unemployment aren't going to go on like this forever. I mean, it was a temporary measure, and you're not going to keep getting that, it seems, forever. We just can't afford it.
Right. Absolutely. And I would encourage people, if, you know, if you're in that situation, you know, if you're getting more than what you were getting paid, you know, use that as an opportunity to, you know, pay down debt or build a savings. Certainly don't get accustomed to having that level of income. And, you know, for people that, you know, are still, I mean, you know, we still are a little bit restricted, I would encourage people to use that extra time at home to maybe do some planning that you might have been putting off, you know, whether it's creating a budget or basic financial plan of, you know, how are we going to handle the resources that God provides for us. You know, if you don't have an active working budget, you know, now is a great time to take a look at that, and, you know, even kind of look at, hey, what have we been able to do without in this time period? It's given a lot of us a perspective of, you know, really evaluating, you know, how we're spending our money and what are the things that we can eliminate or at least temporarily reduce, you know, to help cut debt or other things like that. You know, I would encourage people to really have a plan to get to a place where they're not carrying credit card balances, or they're not, you know, they don't have any other, you know, personal debt, you know, maybe outside of a mortgage, car payment. And even then, you know, how can we eliminate those other payments in our lives and get to a point where we don't have outstanding debt? And, you know, really take the opportunity to look at what the Bible says about money, because the Bible is so full of wisdom and knowledge when it comes to how to handle our finances.
And one of the things we ask Darren to do every month as he joins us is to share something from the Bible about finances. So, Darren, what do you have for us this month?
Yeah, well, I was looking in Proverbs 18, and, you know, a lot of times when you're reading through Proverbs, you know, in some of these chapters, that, you know, each verse kind of is a nugget in and of itself. And times when I've read this, you know, these verses, you know, I always looked at them that way, but, you know, I think there's a strong correlation here. In Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." In 11, it says, "The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall." But I think you're really looking at those two verses as contrasting each other. You know, for the righteous, you know, the Lord, the name of the Lord, is our fortification. It's our safety net, versus, you know, for those that are relying on money, you know, that a lot of people look to money as their safety net or as their fortification. But, you know, Scripture, you know, over, you know, time and time again calls us to rely on the Lord. If you go on to verse 12, it says, "Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor." And we've seen that in a lot of places, you know, a lot of people that, you know, were relying on their wealth, their focus was on building wealth or becoming rich. We've seen that humility come. You know, a lot of pride has been checked over the last few months with the business failures. You know, we've talked about just a lot of wealth wiped out, you know, as a result of the economic contraction. And so, you know, just want to, you know, encourage people to really, you know, it's a great time to remind ourselves. It's easy to be, you know, to get drawn into the temptation of that and to turn our focus to money or things as opposed to the name of the Lord. And so just a reminder that, you know, the Lord is our strong tower. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And this is a great time to renew our focus on that and really look to Him to be our strong tower.
Darren Munn joining us from Munn Wealth Management, and of course Munn Wealth, also the sponsor of the Prayer Closet. And Darren, if folks want to find out about Munn Wealth Management, how can they do so?
Our website is munnwealth.com.
Excellent. Hey, Darren, thank you so much. We always appreciate your visits with us, and we'll see you again in a month, although it'll feel like 2 weeks.
All right. My pleasure. We'll see you then.